recorded live on DementiaRadio.org, it's the Funny Music Podcast, brought to you by TheFump.com, where you can download new free comedy songs twice a week. Now, here's your hosts, Devo Spice and the great Luke Ski.
Hey, Devo Spice.
Hello.
We have Insane Ian here.
You're damn right you do.
And Jace McClain.
What up?
And Lee Seitz.
Stats.
Stats. Is that just how you greet people now?
Might as well be.
It's like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, except it's not station.
Right. Welcome to episode 186 of the Funny Music Podcast for January 2nd, 2014, first show of the new year.
Woot woot.
How are you good folks doing tonight?
Both me and Lee are a year older.
Yay, happy birthday, guys.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I had a crippling migraine until about 15 minutes ago, which was bizarre, and then I suddenly woke up feeling better. So I don't know whether I actually fell asleep on the couch or not, but...
Sometimes sleeping will just get rid of a headache.
Yeah, well, I fell asleep on an ice pack, and I'm chock full of both prescription migraine medicine and Excedrin.
Well, so, that's probably why it's gone.
Yeah. So between the sleep and the drugs, I am feeling much better.
Cocksucker! Austin wanted me to yell out an expletive on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He told me that he dares me to yell an expletive, so there you go, that? Austin.
Oh, awesome.
Austin. Okay. Austin. Smashy Claw. Austin.
Of course.
Austin Smashy Claw.
Yeah.
That's his new last name.
Yeah, I recorded three more episodes of the Kyle and Luke Tunes podcast earlier today.
Speaking of expletives.
And balsa wood. earlier this week, I put out a new episode of Bad Rapport.
Which I listened to today.
What, could you stand listening to it?
I did, but I had to fast forward through most of the music.
Hi, Austin. I'm talking to you both in this podcast and on Facebook chat.
Why did you fast forward through the music?
I don't know. The first song, the mashup you did, I thought was awesome. And then the other songs you played, I just, about halfway through the first song, I was like, I put it on fast forward. And I'm like, oh, he played another version of that song. Okay, I'll fast forward through that too. I don't know. I just wasn't in the mood for that music today for some reason.
See, I usually consider the music like the good part of the show that people want to listen to. And then the talking is the part that they... You know, could do.
I listen mostly to the talking because I've heard the songs.
Oh, okay. Well, I accidentally forgot to bring the recorder with me because it was a Monday when I usually just go there to babysit, and I just spaced out on it. So I ended up recording it on my Nexus tablet, which, you know, I ran it through at least one processor to make it not quite so tinny, but, you know, it still was left kind of with a decent amount of tinny tinge to it, so...
It sounded fine. It was totally listenable.
Okay, cool. That's what I was hoping.
And speaking of that
mashup I did, I sent to Dr. D, and he loved it, so he's going to be playing it on the January 11th show. So,
speaking of sounding tinny, what did you do to the Thumpcast last week? Because it sounded like you recorded the stream instead of recording it locally.
There was an error on my part, on my end, so I asked... I asked Wildcard to send me what he recorded off of the stream, and then I just I edited in the songs clean and the interview with Kyle clean, so that at least that part sounded normal. So that was my bad, but thank you very much, Wildcard, for saving the day.
Luke actually had to do work for the podcast for a change.
Yes, because, you know, I don't do anything for this podcast other than everything that allows it to exist, pretty much.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
No.
Hey, I'm the one who updates the
nothing.
I'm the one who updates the script every week.
There's a script?
There is. Do you want me to share it with you? Well, it's an outline more than anything.
Did you put the tumblers in the store yet?
No, I didn't. I was actually going to do that last week because I was off last week. The place where I work now is actually closed.
Bass is making music happen.
Sorry. I got a new bass.
It was sweet.
Meet the new bass, same as the old bass.
Jace of bass?
Yeah.
Things happen with comedy.
Yeah, if only I just covered Ace of Base songs all the time. Man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, but you did it in Duff's location for Ace of Cakes.
Yeah.
Ah.
So Devo, continue telling us about what you've been up to.
I actually was planning on putting the things in the store over the break while I was off, and I was working on music, and I made some good progress on the Doctor Who album while I was off, and then the last 2 days of my break, I was spent doing FUMP administrative stuff, including like the accounting and some end of the year stuff that I have to do. So I never got a chance to, but hopefully this weekend I will put the tumblers in the store. That's my plan. Soon,
dude, how far are you in the Doctor Who album?
I have 2 songs left to write, and I think 3 to do music on. I think that's about it. And then I have 3 that are just about done.
Progress.
Yeah.
Well, did you run into the same problem with Steve that his radar failed and?
Well, I ran into that recently with the. Yeah. I finished up TARDIS Ride completely, which is my mm-hmm. Matt Smith song, and I sent that to him, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm kind of dead in the water right now. I gotta fix this."
Yeah, his machine just got fixed. We went to the studio today, worked on 1 new song. I'm going back tomorrow to finish the last song we have to do for the album.
Yeah, so he was able to get a mix. He was able to get a mix to me for the song, so TARDIS Ride is done. I have 2 others, my Colin Baker song, Doctor in Distress, and my, blanking on the name, the 8th Doctor, Paul McGann, The Eye of Harmony. Both of those songs are just about done. Luke, I need vocals from you for 1 of those, too.
Yeah, I just realized I was supposed to record something for you, and I forgot.
Okay. I think it's the last thing I need for 1 of those songs. And then, Doctor in Distress, it's the last thing I need is your vocals. And then I can put those in and send them off. And for Luke, you'll be happy to hear that Charlie from Flat 29 is appearing in the Doctor in Distress as well.
Hooray! And
I might be getting the other 2 guys as well. They're trying to do a Skype thing.
Yeah, but, I know that Rich has a newborn kid, so I can understand him being too busy for things.
Okay, well, congratulations, so. Rich. So what have you been up to?
I think I kind of already said it pretty much.
Then let's talk to you.
I did did a 1-hour caricature gig. I recorded and posted Bad Report just in time for New Year's. Sarah and I basically spent New Year's at home, which we were both perfectly content to do. Spent 2 hours yesterday blowing snow. Spent 2 hours this morning blowing snow. Then I went and saw Frozen for a 3rd time, and then me and Kyle recorded 3 podcasts in a row.
Frozen's so good.
I know. And get a horse, too. the upcoming topics for the Toons podcast are a general discussion of random cartoon-related things, a discussion about Get a Horse and Frozen, the new Disney stuff, and a conversation where we kind of run down the top.
There's a dog out there.
That's not on my end.
That's on
me either. I do have a dog right next to me curled up, but he's trying to sleep at the moment.
So, and then we do an episode where we run down all of the animated features of 2013 and kind of pick our top 3 favorites of the year, and then read the comments from episodes 4, 5, and 6. So, yeah. I guess that's about it for what I've been up to in this past week. So why don't we talk to Ian?
Ah, it's me.
Hey, birthday boy.
Hello.
So what, do you think you're cool because you make songs all the time or something?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I'm no Adam Warrock, but yeah, I make do.
So, all right, well, give us a brief introduction to your song, and then we'll play it, and then we'll talk about it.
I wrote this song in college with my friend Jay, and it's kind of obvious.
All right, here is Christopher Robin's Lament by Insane Ian on the Funny Music Podcast.
Woohoo!
Something ain't right. I'm so scared and can't face, I fall out the tree. Now a kangaroo is looking at me. Piglet to the left of me, Tigger to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with Pooh. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with Pooh. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. And there's honey spilled all over the place. Owl to the left of me, rabbit to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with Pooh. Well, you started out a salesman and you find that you're a handmade bear. You go outside, catch flying piglets in the air, yelling, please, oh, please. Try to make some sense of it all, but I can see that it don't make sense at all. You can try to pin the tail on your, but I can see that it won't stick anymore. Kanga to the left of me, Roo to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with Pooh. Well, you started out of stuffing and you find that you're a handmade bear. You're running from the bumbles, they sting you on your back and you say, bees, a bee. Something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall out the tree. Now a kangaroo is looking at me. Piglet to the left of me, Tigger to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with Pooh. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with Pooh. Stuck in the middle with Pooh. Here I am, stuck in the middle with Pooh.
Hey, Winnie the Pooh Hammer.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So this is
so
this
many
is
poo jokes.
This is an older song, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, this song is probably 12 years old.
Is this an update or is this the same version that you put on the Dementia Radio compilation?
That's the exact same version I put on the Dementia Radio Rarities disc. I had that song, and I was kind of holding on to it in the off chance that I was not able to get over to Ben's to record anything new. And since it was basically 12 months since that Dementia Radio disc, I went, well, I'm going to use this one now, because I wasn't able to get over to Ben's this month, and I wanted to keep up my record of putting out a fump each month. There were some months, admittedly, where I put out two songs, but to make up for missing a month. But for the most part, I put out 12 songs on the Fump this year. And I wanted to keep that record going, damn it.
You did. You totally did.
I'm checking the Excel spreadsheet to make sure he did.
Yep. Yes, I also had an Excel spreadsheet. Actually, it wasn't Excel, it was Google Docs. But I had a spreadsheet because I had to figure out royalties for the 2013 USB drive. So I had to figure out who had how many songs on what thing and what percentage each person got. And so,
yep.
So yeah, anyway, I could just sit to my spreadsheet.
I thought of that as I was halfway done. I was like, you know what? I bet you Lee already has this information. So give us the scoop on this song. What was the deal with it?
Well, in college, me and friends of ours would gather in the college community center, which we lovingly dubbed BS101. Whenever we basically wanted to hang out in between classes, or sometimes rather than going to class, it was community college. And me and my buddy Jay were there, and I had it was my first band was around at that time, which was called Insane Ian and Crotch. And me and Jay, he was a big fan of the Steelers Wheel song and big fan of Reservoir Dogs, and I honestly did not know the song that well. And so he's like, yeah, this is a funny idea. And I was like, here's this thing that I hate about songs like this is if they give away the joke in the title. So I didn't want it to be called Stuck in the Middle with Pooh. So I changed it to Christopher Robin's Lament only because I don't like, you know, it's like stuck, you know, she never told me she was a mime. You know, that joke is already there in the title. You already know what's going on with that title. So I kind of wanted to keep it kind of a little ambiguous at first.
And, yeah, I've run into that same issue of not wanting to give away the joke. The issue you run into when you do stuff like this is it makes the song more difficult to find. Yeah.
You've mentioned that, and I realized that, but at the same time, I'm okay with that. If people really want to find it, they'll search harder. So, you know,
because Hot Waffles has mentioned that their song, which is called "The End," which I still think is the funniest song they've ever recorded, is probably their least well-selling song, if that's a sentence. And it's because it's called "The End," and it's not called anything that is Googleable.
Right.
So people have a hard time finding it.
Yeah, and I get that. Yeah, I know I don't mention Christopher Robin in the song, but it's clearly sung from his perspective, I assume. And, I mean, admittedly, this song is... It's more of the lyrics to Steeler's Wheel song slightly altered than it is a complete parody.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all. I think it works in this situation. Austin, if we're going to talk about Austin again, had said to me when I posted it on the FUMP, he's like, we should get like some sort of animated version of it where it's like Christopher Robin dancing around a la Michael Madsen in Reservoir Dogs with Pooh tied up in the chair as the cop. And, what, nobody's seen Reservoir Dogs? Seriously?
No, I have not.
Oh, I have, man. But it's been a very long time.
This song is a great scene where basically Michael Madsen tortures a cop and cuts off his ear with a razor blade to this song. Or the Steeler's Wheel song, I should say. So I think, nice. You know, having that kind of happen with a stuffed bear would be kind of twisted, I think, would be fun. Or maybe I'm just sick.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope. Paying my bills.
So what's new in the world of video games?
A lot. I was supposed to have some reviewsicles done by now, and because it was December and holidays happened, Ben was working all of this month, so I was not able to get together with him at all, or he was not even able to do music at all for me to even send me to do at home.
Mm-hmm.
So reviewsicles got a little bit delayed. So a couple of the initial ones that I was going to do, I'm probably going to end up not doing now because they are a little older game-wise as far as, like, having them be timely. That's the thing about the reviewsicles is I want the reviews to kind of be timely for when they come out. I'm still doing at least three of the ones I had initially planned because I had already started working on them. And I don't really want to ditch those. So, Batman Arkham Origins, Lego Marvel Super Heroes, and Call of Duty Ghosts are still going to have reviewsicles done. They're probably going to be mid to late January by the time they actually do come out, because it's all a timing thing getting together with Ben. I've been able to capture the game footage finally, though, so that's good. I'm going to actually be posting this very similar update to this on the Kickstarter page. So, but again, you know, the whole first season is not supposed to even be done until August. So I'm like, you know, giving me a nice good couple, you know, 8 months of new game releases. And this year is going to have a crap ton of stuff. In fact, I am going to be, after this podcast, doing my write-up of my most anticipated game of 2014, which will be Mario Kart 8.
Sweet. You have an advanced copy or something?
No. It's just talking about what games you're looking forward to.
Oh, okay. Yes, because I'm very much looking forward to Mario Kart 8.
Yes.
I got my wife a Wii U for Christmas, so we've been playing that a lot.
there is a game that you would be really interested on the eShop called NES Remix.
Ooh.
I saw the commercial for that.
It is awesome. It came out about 2 weeks ago. It is a bunch of the classic games like Mario, the original Mario Brothers, Super Mario 1, Legend of Zelda, Donkey Kong, Excitebike, and it's in snippet form where, like, you have specific challenges to meet. And then they had, like, you know, get 100 1-ups on the red shell on the stairs in that one level of Mario.
Right.
And then there's remix versions of it where, like, you're playing Excitebike, but the level is in, like, you're looking through, like, night vision goggles through it. Or you're playing Donkey Kong, but you're playing it as Link from Zelda, so you can't jump.
Yeah. Nice.
So it's a lot of challenge levels to it, too. And it's really,
as if
really
Donkey Kong isn't hard enough.
Eh, it's not.
Do you get to smash barrels with the sword instead?
That would be awesome, but you'd have to be able to jump up to get the sword, I would think. But yeah, no, it's you have to use strategy to avoid them rather than jumping over them. So it makes it more of a challenge. And then this past Tuesday, the 31st, they released Dr. Luigi, which is the Luigi version of Dr. Mario.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because this is, you know, last year was the year of Luigi. And apparently that's being extended further into 2014, so I'm excited. Because Luigi doesn't get enough respect. So.
No, he doesn't.
Is the game any different from the other, besides...
There are a couple different modes. There is the standard Remedy mode, which is the... It plays like Dr. Mario. And then there's... I forget what it's called, but there are points where the pills are connected in an L shape for Luigi. And then there's a mode that you play entirely on the gamepad using the stylus. And on the gamepad version, there's actually multiple pills coming down instead of one at a time. So you're sliding them around with the stylus to get them into position, and there are multiple on at the time. And that's apparently, like, the best version for it, so.
Okay.
Cool.
I likes it.
Yeah. And I like how Devo bought the Wii U for his wife.
Yes.
Hey, well, I bought a PS3 for my wife because she said she wanted one.
Yay! I'm happy.
It was kind of a present for the whole family, but I had to give it to her so that the kids didn't fight. Hey, it's mine! It's mine! No. It's mine! But
I feel your pain.
I got the system for her, and then I got each of the kids a game. So we have a few games to play.
Nice.
And the funny thing is, the kids have been. They've been playing the Wii U games, but they've also gone into the basement and got the Wii games and played those because our Wii has been broken for a few months. And No, it doesn't.
Oh, so, man.
And that's the problem. So we're going to send it out to be fixed because I have one star left to get on Mario Galaxy 2, and I am not going to play that game all the way through again just to get to the last star.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because... If you have, like, a little SD memory card, you can transfer everything from the Wii to the Wii U, including any games you may have downloaded.
Yeah, which I want to do, but I got to get the Wii fixed first. So.
Yeah, hopefully they can...
Yeah, and hopefully not lose all the data.
That would be preferable, yes. Yeah. I'm so excited to hear people get game systems, you know, PS3s and Wii Us. It makes me happy because I love games. I know it's kind of obvious in the music that I do, but I legitimately like every video game, every system I'm a fan of. I'm going to MAGFest this weekend, which is a music and gaming festival, and you know I'm going to hang out with the Destructoid people, and I'm going to see a lot of good performances. Like Brentalfloss is going to be there, and Mega Ran, and you know Arm Cannon, and a bunch of these chiptune artists, and Inverse Phase, and. A lot of all cool stuff, and gaming, I can't get enough of it, and it's kind of a sickness, and I don't care.
Do you have any idea how big your collection is?
It is not anywhere near the Guinness record holder.
Well, no.
Which is like 10,000 games. Mine is roughly about at least 1,000, if not 1,100 games across 33 different consoles.
I should like take stock of what I have and figure out like all this, games I have for what systems and stuff.
I went to Galloping Ghost the other day, and I got 117,995 on Qbert.
I saw the picture.
So I think that might be my record for Qbert. Got to the level 5-4. I also got high score of the day on Mario Brothers. I took pictures of them all. I think Donkey Kong, Joust, yeah. I think and those are all the high score godders I got that day. for
nice.
I mean they do turn them all off each day, so but they have like little signs on the top of each machine that display both the all-time world record for that game and the record for that arcade in and of itself, so that you can try to beat the arcade's record. And there's a whole bunch of world record holding games in Galloping Ghost now, which is really cool.
Oh, cool.
But
neat.
But I doubt I'm ever going to get a world record on, or even an arcade record on any of them. I'm just not that good, and I don't have the time to devote to playing the games that much. But it's
right.
It's still an awesome place to go.
Yeah, I was mad that my high score on Dig Dug got messed up, that I wasn't able to save it or anything like that. I goofed on something and just I was pissed.
Yeah. I was going to mention, so I'm going to this convention in Pasco, Washington called RadCon 6B. I don't know why they have that numbering system like that, but...
It's all taking place in one hotel room.
That could be it, as far as I know. but, so they booked the flight to for me to go out there, and there's a, like, 4.5-hour layover in Portland, at the Portland airport. So... I actually went to Google Maps to try to figure out if it was possible for me to get to Ground Control, which is a well-known arcade in Portland that I've heard people talk about on Nerdist and stuff, to see if I could, like, you know, land, leave the airport, take a cab to Ground Control and hang out there for 2 or 3 hours and then, you know, go back to the airport and...
For your flight, yeah.
Yeah, and the only thing that's making me nervous about doing it is... the notion of having to leave the airport and then come back and go through security again, like somebody's going to hassle me about, like, I'm trying to pull off some kind of nefarious plot or something.
Right.
When in fact, I just want to play, you know, video games at a famous arcade. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing I hate about layovers, is because you're kind of tethered to the airport that your layover is in. Yep. And, yeah, that's no fun. That's no bueno. Especially when there's an awesome arcade to go, you know, lose hundreds of dollars and quarters at.
I've been to the Portland airport once, and the streetcar line does go right to it.
Hmm.
Of course, that was many years ago.
Well,
okay, Ian. I have one more video game story I need to get your opinion on, and then we can move on.
Okay.
I just saw this on Gizmodo. And I want to get your take on it.
Okay.
PS4 owners watch 3 times as much porn as Xbox One owners.
We just posted the same article on Destructoid. In our article, we listed the top movies.
Yeah, that's listed on Gizmodo,
top
too.
Top genres. Yeah, apparently the number one movie is titled Creamsplosion.
Not Creamplosion, there's no S.
Creamplosion. Explosion, right. Explosion, because somebody in the comments section said it's the next game from Twisted Pixel, which is Splosion Man, so Creamsplosion Man was the game, that's why I... Yes. Yeah, I heard about that. That's gross.
Yeah,
I think...
So
I think
to get a PS4.
The weirdest thing about it is, yes, sure... We know why it's less on Xbox One, is because Kinect is on Xbox One, so that thing is always watching you.
The Kinect is watching you masturbate, yes.
Yep. that needs to be on the box. Kinect. It watches you wank.
All right, so anything you would like to plug?
Insanian.bandcamp.com. This weekend I'm going to be at MAGFest, but I'm not really performing. unless you count me sneaking into the jam room and possibly doing an impromptu set. The 16th of January, I'm doing Ghostbusters Night at the Windup Space here in Baltimore, Maryland, where I'm doing stand-up rather than music comedy, and basically emceeing the night of Ghostbusters-themed stand-up after the two movies. It's going to be a night of drunkenness, debauchery, and it's going to be a train wreck. It's going to be awesome.
That sounds like fun.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get to the next part of the show then, which sounds like this. Woo.
This Lame. Is the Funk.
And I said, no, 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 I don't play them no more. Those Facebook games are really a bore.
Britney Spears is gonna freeze her head.
Take me down to the Vatican City where the nuns get none and the priests get pretty.
Is it good or is it sick? She puts the rotic erotic.
Cause she's my zombie girl.
I love her. I guess it was Titanic Monday. Got frozen.
He's having a colonoscopy because he's over 49.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, then we'll move on. The next one's really wacky.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. THEFUMP.com.
Subscribe this January and get 1 month free, plus a USB drive with all of 2013's music on it.
Funny.
Time for Funny Music News. Something, something, something.
And like I just said, the FUMP January subscriber drive is back. It was so successful last year, we figured let's do it again. Basically, the deal is if you subscribe to the FUMP during the month of January, you will get 1 month free. The prices on the 6 and 12-month non-recurring subscriptions reflect the one free month. If you go for a recurring subscription, your April payment will be refunded. And this offer is not good on the one-month subscription, so you can't just get 1 month free. And you will get a free USB drive with all of 2013's music on it. So that's 109 songs spanning the FUMP volumes 37 through 42, plus a digital version of Christmas with the FUMP. All on a handy-dandy little USB thing with the FUMP logo printed on it. And for existing subscribers, you can pick up the USB drive in the store for the month of January only for just $14.99. Basically, what's going to happen is at the end of January, I'm going to make up just as many FUMP drives as many flash drives as we need, and then not make any more. So there will not be extras for sale in the store when I get the drives. I'm only going to make up as many as we need because I couldn't sell them last year. We made a whole bunch. People really liked them, and people really wanted them, so I made a bunch of extras to sell, and I think I sold two. And the rest of them I ended up donating to the Under the Smogberry Trees Kickstarter campaign just to get rid of them. So I'm not doing that again this year. I'm only going to make as many as I need to make to fill demand. So if you want one, you need to order it. You need to either subscribe before the end of January, or if you're already a subscriber, you can purchase your copy, purchase your drive in the store before the end of January. So that is the FUMP drive, or the FUMP January subscriber drive. Okay. The Funny 25 results are in. And once again, the FUMP is doing very, very well. I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I count 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
You're saying artists or songs?
Songs.
12.
What did I miss? I got You Don't Know Jack at number 21. You Might Be at number 18. Zombie Girl at number 17. Ozman at number 13. Run This Game at number 9. Okay, I'll Lose Weight at number 7, which was on the sideshow. Autocomplete at number 6. Companion Application at number 5. When You Wish Upon a Death Star at number 3. And Mwahaha at number 1. I think that's all of them.
So
I thought it was. I counted 12 before, but I must be wrong.
Hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, yes, we have 9, 10, or 12 songs on the Funny 25, depending on how you count.
It's new math.
And for the however many year in a row, the number one song of the year is a Fump song. This is a streak that has existed since we launched the Fump in 2007. So every year since 2007, the number one song on the Funny 25 has been a Fump song. Woo! And we continue that this year with Ukla the Mock. So very happy with the way things are working on the Funny 25. And go support the Dr. Demento show at drdemento.com.
Yes. I'm very happy with the Fump's continued strong showing on the Funny 25, because back in the old days of when he was doing the Funny Fives and stuff, the Funny 25, they would only have like 7 songs each year that actually came out in that calendar year, and the rest were like the, you know, standard Dr. Demento show classics from, you know, the 20th anniversary collection or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, once I think it was kind of a 1-2 punch of the Fump existing and him switching to the top 10 type of, you know, monthly list instead of the top 5 weekly list that really led to the songs that actually came out this year and were popular amongst the show's current listening fan base, you know, becoming the new dominating force of the Funny 25. And the Fump has been like a half to 2/3 of the list, you know, virtually every year since we started, and again,
yep,
at number one. So, yeah.
And Devo, it was actually 11 songs. Obamacare was on the sideshow also.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
And I think I counted 12 because I counted Joko as a Fump artist, even though Baby Got Back never got posted on the Fump, but the parody of it did.
Right. So again, depending on how you count.
And Luke, is your analysis coming?
Yeah, but it's not going to be much different than what we just said.
Okay. But it comes with all sorts of pretty colors.
Yeah, I intend to make it. I just didn't have time.
That's fine.
All the pretty colors. Okay, the 2-Jew Review is reuniting for 2 shows coming up in January in California. This is Steve Goody and somebody else. And I texted Steve because I couldn't remember who the other person was. And he hasn't replied. So do any of you know who the other Jew is in the review?
Not a clue. Hey, all the rhymes.
It's somebody we know. It's somebody we've heard of. And I can't think of it. But anyway, 2-Jew Review is Steve Goody and somebody else performing funny Jewish related humor songs.
I can find this out.
Go ahead. I've been searching his website and I can't find it. Oh, isn't it one of the foremen? Is it Andy Corwin?
Andy Corwin is an actual size.
Actual size, okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, 2-Jew Review is reuniting. They have 2 shows scheduled. One will be Saturday, January 11th at the
Unurban. Jacob Cantor is the name of the 2-Jew Review. There's the other guy in it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Say that name again.
Jacob Cantor.
Thank you.
Oh, didn't he just... He's on the Funny 25 countdown, isn't he? Oh, no, that's somebody else. Never mind. I know his name from somewhere, too, but anyway. All right, so Saturday, January 11th, they're at the Unurban Coffee House in Santa Monica, California. And on Tuesday, January 14th, they are at the Talking Stick in Venice, California. Steve posted this information on his Facebook page, so if you want, I don't know if it's on his website or not, but look him up on Facebook if you need the details.
Steve updated his website? No, not likely.
Yeah, not likely. So, Luke, are you ready to talk about the Fanboy Christmas poll results yet?
Sure. So these are all the songs that got at least 10 votes from the original Fanboy Christmas medley. The most popular ones were Let It Roll, the Tribble song, the Star Wars Hanukkah song, and I Saw Marvin Kissing Santa Claus. Christmas in Hogwarts by itself got 10 votes. From It's a Fanboy Christmas 2, the top vote getters were Ruttin' for Christmas, Darth Vader's My Dad, Winter Wonder Woman, Frodo the Hobbit, the joke where I go, I would like an Illudium Q-36 explosive space modulator. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Here we go, a plundering, and you're a weird one, Dr. Phlox. And then for It's a Fanboy Christmas 3, the most highest vote getters were Jingle Bell Spock, Here Comes Mario, Little Tony Stark, Must Be Pac-Man, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Zombies, The Pretty Little Dollhouse, and It's the Most Horrible Time of the Year. Which is kind of strange that the Bad Horse Santa thing didn't get more votes, because it the whole point of doing the horrible thing is to lead into the Bad Horse Santa thing. So, I don't know. Anyway, so that's the results. Thank you, everyone who voted. At least 28 people voted, so cool. Hooray.
I can tell you that the Wonder Woman bit is one of the funniest things I've ever heard you do.
Thank you.
That absolutely killed me.
Well, you know, I'm a perv.
Yep. Yep. All right. Anything before tour dates?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just
Chase
few.
Has news.
Chase has news?
I do. I have news. Oh, my album is up for pre-order. Yeah, that's
there you go.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, you can go to nuclearbubblewrap.com, and there's a link right there, a little PayPal button. The album's $10 plus $2 for shipping, and when you pre-order, you get a nice little bonus CD full of cut songs from the album and like songs that are new that may be on the next album, home demos of them, rather. So there's that. And the album should be out really soon. We're actually going to finish the last song we have to work on tomorrow. It's going to get done.
Cool. And we will talk about that more momentarily.
Oh, yes.
All right. Tour dates. The weekend of the 3rd and 4th in Rochester, Minnesota, we have Mikey Mason. On the 9th in New Haven, Connecticut, we have Strange Changes. On the 10th in Somerville, Massachusetts, we have Strange Changes. And on the 16th in San Francisco, California, Phil Johnson and Roadside Attraction.
Woo! Take a drink.
And let's talk to Jace.
Hello.
So give us the elevator pitch for this song.
This song is a good song, I think, to represent what this album is kind of all about. It is about a crazy person who is probably some kind of schizophrenic or something. And I think this song embodies the feeling of being crazy very well. And the album is kind of a little, it's 73 minutes of insanity, pretty much. And I think this is a good, like, centerpiece kind of song to represent it.
All right, so here it is. So Many Friends by Nuclear Bubble Wrap on the Funny Music Podcast.
Yes.
Friends, come in and sit down. Don't mind the messy house. My friends have some troubles. They don't like to clean up stuff. Don't touch that. I mean, they don't want those hair clippings to be messed with. And those stains on the carpet just won't come out. The markings and calls adorning all of my walls are by my buddies with markers, except when the words are red. You may not see, but I've got many friends. I got so many friends. Why don't you be my friends? You don't believe, but I got many friends. I got so many friends. Why can't you see my friends? They whisper to me, they encourage me, they understand me, they command me, they confide in me, they revitalize me. Take photos, yeah, most are of females while they're sleeping. It's artful to take scissors and cut out their eyes. Don't mind the doll heads and limbs with red paint and knives stuck in them. That's one of their hobbies I can't explain. Don't touch those bags, my friends would probably get mad. But you'll soon know why they're needed. It's time to take out the trash.
believe, but I've got many friends. I've got so many friends. Why don't you meet my friends? You may not see, but I've got many friends. I've got so many friends. Why can't you see my friends?
Well, that was strange. Hello?
I was just going to say, did the music stop, nope. or did my stream drop?
No, there was more song than that.
Well, how long is the song supposed to be, Jace?
It's supposed to be 3 minutes and 32 seconds.
Okay, for some reason the file I have is only 3 minutes and 6 seconds, so I will fix that in post so the people listening on the podcast will get the end of the song. I apologize for that.
Okay.
I have no idea why it happened, so. But it's an awesome song.
Thank you.
The version I got in the high-quality download RSS feed was complete and full, so there's nothing wrong with the file that was uploaded.
Okay, cool.
So must have just been a download error. But anyway, pleased to be explaining this song, because I don't know what.
Okay. What is this? I don't even.
Yeah. Okay. So it's supposed to sound like what it probably sounds like inside of the brain of a crazy person who's probably schizophrenic. Yeah.
Okay.
I started noticing that the album I was making, and this is actually one of the first songs that we wrote for the album. So this song is actually about 3 years old, and we've been keeping it under wraps. And I've leaked the demo of it before, like on Facebook, but. This was one of the first songs that we even wrote for the album at all. And I started to realize as I was writing more songs that we were making a concept album about a descent into insanity. And so there's one section of the album which I like to call the I'm Fucking Nuts trilogy. Well, it used to be a trilogy. like more songs kind of got added to it. So there's actually, I think it's 5 songs that are just grouped together on the album in a progressively getting more insane kind of way, and this song is the build up to the peak of the insanity. The song after this is actually peak insanity.
Okay.
Like this one's pretty crazy too. I think the one after this, the one after the song is called Freakish Tea Time, and it's probably a little bit unlistenable to some people because of how insane it is.
It's Mad Hatter's Wonderland crazy.
Oh yeah. It's just nuts. So yeah, there's like an I'm Fucking Nuts kind of quintet of songs that exists in this specific place on the album, and I think it's a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. The thing that inspired the song was internet sock puppetry.
Okay.
I don't know what that's referencing at all.
Oh, internet sock puppetry is when somebody on the internet makes multiple accounts or whatever and like pretend that they are other people praising themselves.
I was being facetious, but yes.
Oh, yes.
Because we don't know anybody in our lives who's done that.
Oh, no.
Not at all. So what else can you tell us about this album?
This album is the craziest thing that... it's my favorite thing I've ever done. I'm incredibly proud of it. I'm incredibly proud of every single song on it. Every single song has a place. This album seems to have like a narrative that's running through it, and it seems like everything just fell into place super wonderfully with this album, and I'm so proud of it. And it's 73 minutes of everything I've ever wanted to do musically.
That's awesome.
You realize that means nobody's going to buy it, right?
Well, a lot of people did donate to the Kickstarter, so they kind of bought it in a way.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah. So all those people are going to hear it, for sure. And we have some videos coming out. In fact, there's a video for a song called Nightmare, which is going to come out soon.
Is that going to be animated, or is that...
It's an animated one. It's by the same guy that did Chomp 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 by Smashy Claw.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, wait, I just realized I donated to the Kickstarter, didn't I?
You did. You're going to hear the album, yes.
Yay! Okay.
Yeah, I believe you're even getting a CD.
I think I am, because I tend to like CDs.
So am I.
Yeah, so the CDs are going to be awesome. My friend Sam did the artwork. He did the same... He did the Abracadaver artwork as well. And the back cover, I just got that back from... It's this guy named Peter Turner, and he does, like, really, really fucked up, like, sadistic artwork. And I told him to make something really anxiety-ridden but really playful. And he did a thing based on the song the Lizards in the Sky song. And it just looks really fucking surreal.
Cool.
I don't even know. I'm so excited about this album, guys.
We can tell.
Yeah. Indeed. I'm really proud of it.
So you think this one's going to kind of stand the test of time better than your previous works, in your own opinion?
Oh, yeah. It kind of was a big game changer. It's something. It's really, really something. Every song is very special and has its own... I was hoping that every single song on the album evokes a very specific type of feeling, and I hope that the way the songs are ordered on the album creates a whole range of feelings that you feel from beginning to end, the same way that perhaps the album is from the point of view of would be feeling as they were going through it. Mostly.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, what's the significance of the spelling of friends?
Friends, to be insane. A band I really like a lot that inspires me a lot is the Flaming Lips. And they released an album last year called The Flaming Lips and Hetty Friends, which was just a collaboration album they did with a whole bunch of people. The singer of Coldplay is on it, and fucking Kesha's on it, and... the guy from My Morning Jacket's on it, you know, shit like that. And, I thought the way he spelled Fwens was funny, so I just ganked it.
Okay.
But there's a lot of crazy shit on here. The video for Nightmare has a lot of, like, My Little Pony shit in it, so that's fun.
Cool. My daughter's been drawing a lot of My Little Pony, characters on...
I just found out Weird Al's going to be on an episode of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's on her 3DS. There's some program that lets you draw and then share it with people. I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
And she's been doing a lot of My Little Pony drawings, and she's got her own little following of people who like her artwork and stuff. So that's cool.
Cool.
And now I have to teach her the joys of being a 9-year-old girl on the internet.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
Man, I got internet access when I was 12 years old with my own computer in my own room, okay?
Dude, the internet didn't exist when I was 12 years old.
Man, I saw some things when I was 12.
So, anything else you would like to plug or talk about?
Let's see. Yeah, my album's up for pre-order. Thank you to everyone who donated to Kickstarter. You all are dolls. Album is a thing. Video's coming out soon. I'm going to keep posting songs from it as it comes to an end of being done. And I want to plug Smashy Claw's album, Former Spine, because it's so fucking good.
Indeed it is.
Yes. Seriously, go look up Smashy Claw, go get their album Former Spine. If you even like They Might Be Giants or Jonathan Colton a little bit, you will love it.
All of the words you are saying are true.
Yes.
Cool.
Smashyclaw.bandcamp.org.
Yes.
All right, well, here's the next part of the show.
Making the internet absolutely ridiculous. DementiaRadio.org.
This is is the part where there's feedback.
Feedback.
Feedback. You know that segment of the show we do about now?
Feedback. Feedback.
Feedback.
Feedback. All right. Do we have a recording for the first comment?
No.
Really? You guys are slipping.
Well, I thought their decision was that it was only going to be for the year of 2013.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Fine. I guess I'll read it myself.
Well, I could play. I could play the jingle.
Okay.
All right. Let me cue that up. It's in here somewhere.
I could play the jingle if I had it ready.
There it is.
Draconisolus.
Dementia.
Oops.
All right, Draconis wrote, first, the SMBSS episode is called Star Koopa. Great, now I'm their wiki for cartoons. What next? Guest appearances for Talking Toons? As for my lack of comment last week, I'm trying to balance both Kyle and Ian out on appearances. What I was planning was a tiebreaker to be whomever read the feedback comment for Christmas week, since this one is the start of a new year. But Ian had to make an appearance as co-host unexpectedly, and Kyle rebalancing the next week. We'll try again next year then. As for tunes, Kyle, Luke, and Devo, if you wish to see a current list of what I have, email me on Gmail using this name and mark it Tune List. This will explain why I asked Kyle about getting from him a copy of cartoons he worked on, made to have on DVD. To Ian, not everyone hates the Ouya. Ask Devo his opinion on it. Here's an open question for all Fump artists. What got you started in comedy music, and who is your biggest inspiration? Luke and Kyle, I'd suggest listening to Pixels in the Animation on GeekCastRadio.com for video game-based cartoons. There was also an Acclaim-based version, and Double Dragon for Nintendo-based ones. Capcom released two Mega Man tunes, Street Fighter and Darkstalker, and Deke released Mortal Kombat as well as the Capcom ones minus two Mega Man. Henshin. Oh, and I actually type each comment without any help. So,
I never said I didn't like the Ouya. I just said some people don't.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. I do. I happen to like it. I don't get to play it too often, but I do like it. This isn't an Ouya exclusive game, but have you played the Cave?
No, it's on Xbox and other things too, and I've been meaning to get it. I think it was on sale and I missed it on Xbox. There was a lot, they had their 15 days of gaming or whatever it was, like through Christmas to January 1st. And,
yeah, we downloaded the demo, the free version on the Ouya, and my kids were playing it for a while. It's a damn impressive game, like just the look and the production and stuff. It's really sweet looking.
Yeah, there's another game that's kind of along the, at least in my eyes, kind of like one of those atmospheric, it's kind of, the graphics aren't spectacular, but the way it looks makes them look spectacular. It's called Limbo. That game's freaky. It's basically all done in silhouette, and there's a lot of darkness, but it's really cool. It's this little platformer puzzle game that's just really cool.
Cool.
Speaking of the Ouya, what happened to that game you were working on with your son, Devo?
Yeah.
It's on hold until the Doctor Who album is done, because the game is what is basically my train project. It's what I work on the train. But since the Doctor Who album is so far behind schedule, I've dedicated my train time to the Doctor Who album at the moment. I actually got two lines written on my Sylvester McCoy song today. That song turning out to be like pulling teeth. So once the Doctor Who album is done, I will jump back on the game.
Okay.
But the game is coming along very nice. We have the first level completely done, and all the game mechanics and everything are working. So I just need to do the other 26 levels I think we're doing in the first game. So. So what got me started on comedy music, and who is your biggest inspiration? That's fairly easy for me. Since I was a kid, I've always loved parodies, and I used to run around the school singing stupid songs, most of which would get you expelled these days. because a lot of them were about blowing up the school and hanging teachers and things like that. But anyway, so I always liked singing, you know, different versions of songs and stuff. And my mother, when I was about 9 or 10, dug her copy of one of her Alan Sherman albums out of the basement and played it for me. And I laughed the entire way through it. And I was like, holy crap, people actually record this stuff. And I was familiar with Weird Al at the time because I had seen the video for Ricky on some UHF station. And I think even I Love Rocky Road. So I was familiar with who Al was. Oh, a friend of mine had the another one Rides the Bus 45. So I knew who Al was. And then when In 3D came out and Eat It hit, I kind of became a huge Weird Al fan. So I guess that's about it. Biggest inspiration would probably be Alan Sherman and Weird Al.
I can't pin it down to an exact year, but I know that in the year 1978, Steve Martin's Wild and Crazy Guy album came out, and my parents had that. So sometime within the first few years of that album existing, they played the song King Tut for me. And, you know, that song, and as well as the rest of that album, kind of, I mean, I'd always liked, you know, songs that were funny in nature, and of course I heard a bunch of them on Sesame Street and The Muppet Show, but I think it was like that album and that song that really kind of hooked me with this idea of, you know, people can make funny songs and then they can become like these big hits that, you know, everyone, you know, was really into, like, hey, you know that awesome thing? Yeah, and then everyone's like really into it or whatever. And then a year or so after that, there was a KTEL compilation LP called Just for Laughs, which had the original bathroom version of My Bologna, plus Another One Rides the Bus, and also Take Off by Bob and Doug McKenzie, Valley Girl by Frank Zappa and Moon Zappa, Double Dutch Bus, Cow Patty, the Hen House 5 plus 2 in the Mood, Peter the Meter Reader, Telephone Man, that weird version of Money by, I forgot what that group
Flying
was.
Lizards.
Yes. So all that stuff was on this one LP that my sister's friend owned, and we borrowed it, and I was totally like enthralled by all the tracks on this album. And then shortly after that, Al released Eat It. And, you know, that's when I, you know, realized that, you know, this guy, you know, had his own albums that you could, you know, buy elsewhere. So that was the very beginnings of my heavy interest in comedy music. So there we go.
Yep. Cool.
Anyone else want to chime in?
Weird Al.
Yeah, I was going to say it's kind of the same story. You know, we all... It's pretty much Eat It. I was
for me it was Amish Paradise, but
nice. Well, that's right, because you're a lot younger than the rest of us.
Yeah. For me, it was the Amish Paradise was the big one.
I heard Eat It because a friend of my mom was singing it at me because I wasn't eating my food, and then my mom went out and at the record store found it and didn't realized that what her friend was singing was a real song and bought the 45 and brought it home. And nice. So I played that and That Boy Could Dance endlessly because I thought it was the greatest thing ever. And my mom had like one of those like, you know, record collections that she randomly had like a, you know, Hot 100 funny songs or novelty songs records that I still have. And then I went to see Transformers the movie. And I heard Dare to be Stupid in Transformers the movie, and I was like, that sounds like that Eat It guy. And I went out, and I got the Dare to be Stupid record from the library and copied it onto tape until I wore that tape out and sought out every Al thing, and then rented the Complete Al from our video store. And on the Complete Al, they talk about Dr. Demento, so I tried to find the Dr. Demento show on my radio stations, which I didn't find until I was in high school, and managed to listen to that and find all these other awesome comedy things. But Al obviously was the big influence. I watched a lot of stand-up when I was a kid, so most of my influence when I was a kid was was stand-up comics first, and of course Al doing the music, and then I would see stand-ups doing comedy music, and I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. Like Corky and the Juice Pigs. I was like, yes. Give me more of those guys.
Those guys were something special.
Yeah.
There was an episode of the Dr. Demento show in the past few months where the theme was comedians doing songs, and that, it's a great episode. It's got Billy Crystal's You Look Marvelous. It's got, you know, Rappin' Rodney. It's got A Wild Thing by Sam Kinison. It's a great episode. I was going to mention, Dare to Be Stupid, I think, is the first album I ever bought with my own money, and I got it right when it came out. However, I didn't know about the existence of his first album, just called Weird Al Yankovic, until after I had, you know, I had Eat It and I had Dare to Be I had N3D and Dare to Be Stupid, but it wasn't until sometime after that, because there was no internet, I didn't have access to fanzines at that age, I just didn't know, I lived in the sticks, pretty much. And then when I discovered there was this whole other album of his, I kind of freaked out, and I begged my dad to go look for it at the mall where he worked in, you know, near where Gurnee, Illinois was closer to, you know, civilization, and he was able to find one, and so I was like ecstatic to have suddenly been gifted with a whole nother album's worth of Al songs.
Dude, I have all the Weird Al on vinyl that is on vinyl.
I have a cassette of Poodle Hat.
Yeah.
Bermuda said they made like less than 800 of those.
Why would they even make those?
I don't know. It was the very end of malls and cassettes and stores and stuff. I was just as amazed to see that it existed. I'm like, holy crap, I'm buying this simply because it exists.
Apparently there is a Straight Outta Linwood cassette, but it's like it was released in some like foreign country. Singapore. Yeah.
Turkey.
I had the same issue with Al's first album where I never found it, and I was like, oh, I finally found this album. It's just called Weird Al Yankovic. There's no polkas on this album. What the heck? Oh, wait, there's accordion on every song. Woohoo!
Yeah, Ian liked Weird Al so much he named his company after him.
I did. My record label is called Idolize Way Recordings.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And my video production company was Accordion Pictures. Accord Ian Pictures.
Nice.
I spelled it that way because I'm dumb.
Cool.
I actually discovered the Dr. Demento show in a way similar to Ian, where he mentioned that there's a song and it's real. My mother, one Christmas, while we were decorating the house, was walking around the house singing I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, and none of us believed her that it was a real song, including my father. And so she was like determined to prove us wrong. So, you know, like a week later, we were at the mall and she went into every record store and she said, I'm looking for a song called I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Do you have it? And of course, she got a lot of funny looks and stuff. And finally, somebody said, oh, yeah, I know you can find that. And he pulled out the cassette of Dr. Demento Presents the Greatest Novelty Records of All Time, Volume 6, Christmas. And we bought that and listened to it on the way home, and we never doubted my mother again. But so, you know, we laughed all the way home, and then I read this thing, and then for that year for Christmas, my father bought my mother the entire box set on vinyl, which I very quickly absconded with, and still have.
I have the same box set.
Yeah. It has seen better days. I would like to get another one that's in better shape, but I do still have it. So, and then from there, you know, I read the entire book, and I read about the Dr. Demento show and all the artists and everything. So, and went looking for it on the radio and wasn't able to find it for many, many years.
If anybody has a copy of the Just for Laughs LP on vinyl, my birthday's in 2 weeks, and I very much want to own that album.
I got a quick story about I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Local radio station does the Christmas music, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas every year. Mm-hmm. And they were sponsoring a tree lighting in town. And they were asking trivia questions and giving away albums. And one of the questions they asked was, who sang that song? And several people, I'm standing in the back, I'm like, yeah, somebody else will get this. And they had three or four people answer, and they were nowhere close. So I'm sitting there racking my brain. What the heck was the lady? What was the girl's name? And I managed to get I got the first name wrong, although I had the first letter right, and I got her last name Peavy right. And they were like, "That's close enough. Here, have your album."
Holy balls.
Yeah, I know.
Go Jays.
Sorry. I'm emailing Steve some tracks.
Okay. So, continuing with feedback.
Oh, wait. I want to say one more comment. I think the first time I heard of Dr. Demento was when they did a piece about him on the show Real People. Does anyone else remember Real People?
I remember Real People, yes. Okay.
I do as well.
Cool. All right. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. Mr. Wompy wrote, Happy New Year to all the Fumpers out there, and could you have Nuclear Bubble Wrap send me those pictures of sleeping females, please? Okay.
All right. Oh, yes.
Possibly our creepiest comment ever. Thank you.
Yeah.
And finally, Father Beast wrote, Hey, Devo, since you keep updating us on the progress of your Doctor Who tribute album, I was wondering if you would take recent developments into account. Specifically, I was wondering if you would have a song for the 9th Doctor, John Hurt, or the 13th Doctor, Peter Capaldi. If not included on the main album, you could make an add-on for those wonderful Kickstarter supporters. I think I did mention this somewhere recently, but what I'm planning to do is I've heard there's a way to hide a track on a CD in the middle of the CD somewhere.
You mentioned this on the Kickstarter update.
On the Kickstarter update, that's what I did, yes.
Well, you can do that by, I mean, like, you can stick it at the end of a, like, I mean, you can put it in, like, the negative space.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And if I can figure out how to do that, I may record a short song.
There's a CD burning program I know of that can do that. It's called CDRWin, I think. Okay. And it's the only CD burning program that I have found that actually lets you play with the negative space.
Okay.
And you can even use it to put a song into the negative space before the first track, so that the only way to hear it is to, like, hit the rewind, the button on your CD player.
Okay. They might be giant style.
Oh, yes, they did that. Also, the Power Solid album, Force Doesn't Work on a Crustacean, Chris did that on that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, check it out.
Okay. So, yeah, there might be a short song for the John Hurt's Doctor hidden between tracks 8 and 9. And as for Peter Capaldi, I am not going to be writing a song about Peter Capaldi's Doctor just yet. Because I want to see him as the Doctor before I do anything. So maybe after his first season, I'll write a song about his first season and then, you know, just release it separately. But that's not going to be on the album. So, okay, that's it for feedback. So, Lee.
Yes.
You wanted to talk about stats.
I have lots of stats. I spent far too long writing this all down so I make sure,
hey guys,
I didn't miss anything.
I'm gonna go master the Fump album.
Okay, go do that.
Okay,
see ya.
Bye.
So anyway, speaking of the I won't ask. Anyway, so Fumpcast guests, fortunately I was, do you want me to read the entire top 10? Devo did it on his own last year, so I was feeling guilty. I'll kind of feel guilty if I don't, I guess.
Sure, read the top 10.
Oh, dear. Okay. Number 10, everyone not on the Fumpcast. So, wild card, you're still in the top 10. Let's see. I got to go to the spreadsheet. Number 9, here we go. Everybody that was on once. Hey, Cricket. Adam English, Alex Razy, Brad Carter, Count Jacula, Craig Marks, Danny Burt, Debs, Denny Brownlee, Devin Lucas, Dr. Pinkerton, L. Hey, Ian, these are in alphabetical order. Some L's coming up.
I did notice that.
Aaron Sherlock, Errol, Fuffy, Greg Zehintner, Jared Clark, Jeff Smith, Jesse Smith, Killy Dwyer, Lewis Dobbin, Max DeGroot, Mill, Mikey Insanity, multiple unnamed staff and patrons of Capone's, thank Luke Ski. Parker Bonds, Professor Woo-hoo! Physicist, Rand Bolavia, Scott Barkan, Scott McKenzie, Sea Monkey, Spaff, The Dome, The Wire, Thomas Seitz, that's my youngest son, who you may have heard him tonight too, he doesn't want to go to sleep. Tim Stevens, Tom Dowd, Tyrone Khan, unknown screaming child outside Tony Goldmark's apartment, and Whitney Avalon.
I enjoyed that. That's alphabetized by unknown.
It's what Excel did with it when I said, put them in order. And since we mentioned Parker, Ian, was that Parker barking at the top of the podcast?
No, it was not.
Okay. I don't know whose dog that was.
Jay said he didn't know who a dog was, but it was outside his apartment.
Oh, okay. I missed him saying it was outside his apartment. Okay, so for 2014, we'll have unknown dog barking outside Jason's apartment. Let's see. Number 8. Everybody was on twice. That's Carrie Dalby, Glenn Raphael, Chase McClain, me, Phil Johnson. Oh, Kyle's not here. Spot and Stacy. You've got to get her on more, Ian.
That's entirely up to her. She was in a show, so that kind of limited her interactions recently.
Yeah. Number 7, 3 times, was Dino Mike and Jen Rockwell. I went out and counted. I was trying to figure out what the 3 times were. And once she was snoring, once she laughed, and I don't remember I can't figure out what the other time was.
Yeah.
Number 6 is EMC. Number 5 is a tie between Mikey Mason and Tony Goldmark. Number 4 is a tie between Chris Mezalesta and Steve Goody. Number 3 was 7 times was Jeff Dutton of Bone Cage. Number 2 is a tie between Chewy and Lindsay Smith. Number 1 is, no surprise, Insane Ian and TV's Kyle.
Hooray! We're tied
for the year with 20 appearances each.
Wow.
12 more times than the people at number 2. Kyle was on 12 more times than his fiance. Even though they live together, but okay. Where'd the document go? Okay. Oh, I just did that. Okay. Oh, yes. Kyle and Ian alone were made up 27% of the guest slots this year. The top 4, which is 7 people, made up 50% of the guests this year. Last year, it took 11 people to hit 50%. So you're going down on guests, I guess. Well, actually, you are. That'll get to that later. The biggest gainers this year were Chewy. He was on it 7 more times this year than last year because he was only on once last year. But it's possible I missed some because I didn't necessarily pay as close attention earlier. Ian got excited about it, so I started paying more attention. Number 2 was Jeff Dutton. He was on 7 times this year as opposed to 2 last year. And Mikey Mason was number 3. He was on 5 times this year and none last year. Kyle and Ian both improved their rankings. Kyle was on 5 more times than last year, and Ian was on 4 more times than last year. The biggest losers were Chris Mezalesta, who was down 6 appearances, and Shoebox, who was down 5 for a big 0 in 2013. The top newcomers, first of all, there were 59 guests this year in 2013. That's down from 68 in 2012. So the top 3 newcomers were Glenn Raphael, he was on twice, Jen was on 3 times, and Mikey Mason was on 5 times. And that is the Fump guest stats. Fumpcast guest stats. Do you want to know the Fump track stats?
Sure, yes. Why not, while we got you here.
Good, because I wrote them all down. It's a good answer. The top 5 most prolific artists on the Fump this year, number 5 was a tie between Lemon Demon and Mikey Mason. Mikey's doing well for being a new artist on the Fump. Number 4 was Devo, 6 songs. Number 3 was a tie between Bone Cage and TV's Kyle, with 10 songs each. Number 2 was Steve Goody, with 11 songs, and like he said, Insane Ian is number 1 with 12 songs.
Woohoo!
You outpaced Steve Goody.
14 and, if you count the 2 Scooter Picnic tracks.
This is true, but I didn't count those.
Nobody counts those.
Ouch. I count those.
Oh, they're counted. They're just not in the top 5. Let's see. The most featured artists this year, meaning when on the little line underneath the title, it says the song says featuring so and so. There were a bunch that were on only once, but there were three people who were, managed to be on two songs in that capacity. They were Devo, The Stacy, and Austin Aishelman. If I said that right.
You did.
Okay. The most explicit artists for 2013. There were 16 explicit songs, which is up from 13 last year. Number three was Devo with two songs. Number two was Mikey Mason with three songs. So three out of five Mikey was explicit on. And the most explicit artist of 2013 was Bone Cage with five songs. The most squick songs. There were two, which is up from zero in 2012, which we will now refer to as the year without a sea monkey.
They're kind of like a year without a Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I want to see that special.
No, I'm really not sure you do.
Yeah, anyway, I totally want to see him as a little stop motion animated character.
Okay. Anyway, the two squick songs were Dino Mike with Zombie Girl, and Kill the Band with a song I'm not sure I can say because I don't. Yeah, because he's still awake. She was on a couple weeks ago. Go look it up.
Yes, she was.
Killy's awesome.
Let's see. So new artists. There were 14 new artists this year. That's down from 19 in 2012. But in 2012, two of those new artists were Cog offshoots. So count them as you will. And then the last thing I noticed was I looked at who released songs on what day. Steve Goody released 7 of his 11 songs on Tuesday. Historically, he usually releases his songs on Friday. TV's Kyle released 8 of his 10 songs on Tuesday. In prior years, he'd released more songs on Friday. Bone Cage had the biggest preference. He released 9 out of 10 songs on Friday. Can't tell you historically how that goes because he's only done 2 other songs besides the 10 from last year. And Ian currently showed no preference in 2013, but historically, Ian, you released most of your songs on Friday.
Good to know.
I'm sure that will come incredibly useful.
I was kind of wondering that, but like wondering it in a non-caring capacity.
Well, I'm here to help you in your non-caring capacity. Actually, let me switch. Let's see. Do I have where's my spreadsheet? There it is. Oh, that doesn't help.
Yeah.
Where's my tab? There it is. That's why I can't find it. Nope, that doesn't help either. There it is. That tab. Too many tabs. Insane Ian. I don't have it broken. That's not broken down by year. Yeah, it'd be too much trouble. Anyway, for all of your songs to date, you have released 58% on Friday.
Wow.
And 8% on Sunday, and the rest are obviously Tuesday.
I'm learning stuff about me.
Yep, but I'm done. You can all wake up now. Unless you have any questions while I have the spreadsheets open.
No, is there any other stats, or is that it?
That's it. That wasn't enough for you?
No, that was plenty. I just wanted to make sure we were done before we moved on. That's all. I'd hate to like bring you on the show and then say, oh, we should have done this or we should have done this. So.
Well, I appreciate you letting me go and give you all these stats, and Devo probably appreciates it because he doesn't have to read it all.
I didn't have to read it. All right, teasing. Tomorrow's song is by Dino Mike.
Hooray!
And Tuesday's song is by a new artist.
Ooh!
All right. And I believe we're going to call that a show.
All right. Let me cue up the music thingy so it can be over now.
Yeah.
All right, this has been the Fun Music Podcast. I'm Luke Ski.
I'm Duo Spies.
And there's Insane Ian.
Here I am.
And Lee Seitz.
At Eclectic Lee S.
Thank you for listening to the Funny Music Podcast. You can listen live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, at DementiaRadio.org. And join us in the chat. Or subscribe to the podcast feed. Look us up on iTunes and be sure to leave us a review. Feedback for the show can be sent to info@thefump.com. The Funny Music Podcast is a production of Fidem Interactive, LLC, released under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Shout it to random people on the street. And be sure to visit thefump.com for the latest funny songs. Tune in next week, where you'll hear Luke Ski say...
Go to ManicMondays.net so that you can download Manic Mondays and then fast-forward through all the music.